This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker, who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
A 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I haven't said this in a while. Welcome back to the fastest hour in radio. VGIC used to say the fastest 2 hours, right? So I can technically still say the fastest hour. Is that
right?
That's
right, yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome into the fastest hour in radio, the Adam Carriker Show, here on 93.7 The Ticket. What you're going to hear, Husker sports, college football, sports in general. What you're going to get, unique insight, unbridled honesty. And producer Jake and I are going to have a whole lot of fun in the process. Maybe say something smart at some point. The odds are probably below 50% on that, but we'll do the best we can. We got a lot to talk about. Dana Holgorsen gives post-bye week updates on the offense. John Butler gives post-bye week updates on the defense. And I'm literally getting texts as we're sitting here. We will have a live interview with a current player. They're narrowing it down and letting us know here in the next few minutes who that's going to be at some point, again, over the course of the next hour, the fastest hour in radio, YouTube, social media, podcast, television, wherever you're watching this program. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's the noon hour, and that means lunchtime. The lunch hour of the Adam Carriker Show is sponsored by our good friends at Mulberry Barbecue, now with two locations at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way. Right off of Highway 2 by Lowe's. Both locations are open Monday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. Try their burnt-end sandwich, a brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, full slab of ribs, half-smoked chicken, and much, much more. Plus, incredible sides. Get fueled for lunch today or make dinner plans at Mulberry Barbecue, located at 11th and Cornhusker and at 61st and Apples Way, right off of Highway 2. All right, a couple of quick updates. And so I mentioned that Michigan State was banged up going into their bye week. Now, they got a bye week, be a little bit less banged up, be a little bit more healthy. All right, but Jonathan Smith, their head coach, just said starting left tackle Stanton Ramil will not play this weekend due to an undisclosed injury, and he will be out, and I quote, close to a month, end quote. As far as I'm concerned, he could be back in 6 days, but he will not be there on the fifth day when they play Nebraska. And he also said the second string Mike linebacker Brady Pieslaff is out for the season with injury. Speedy recovery to both those guys. And did you see this line? Like, people look at me like I'm full of fluff. I'm going to go with that F word. I'm full of fluff when I say Cincinnati is better than they were last year, unequivocally. I don't know how good. I've said absolutely a bowl team, somewhere between 6 and 9 wins. That's what I've said since I saw them in the pregame on the sideline before we played them in Arrowhead. It's what I've said since the game and how I saw how the game played out. Cincinnati is now actually favored over Iowa State. Did you know that?
I did see that, yeah.
14th ranked team in the country. Iowa State, who frankly, it's high. We're not going to dive into this. Why is Texas rated ahead of Iowa State? Logo? I don't know. Preseason expectations? It's certainly not merit-based. Now, if they played, who'd be favored? Texas would be favored. Are we going off merit or are we going off people's opinions? I'm just saying. All right, that's neither here nor there. That was my little rant on that. Plus, anytime I can take a shot at Gag Me You, it's always fun. Honestly, Penn State popped into my head, too. If you've watched how they beat teams soundly, but they weren't impressive, and then they go out, and Oregon's a very good team. I actually went after Texas, not because of my anti-love for Texas. You like that? Anti-love,
Jake? Anti-love, yeah.
It's because they have been even less impressive than Penn State, to be honest with you. And they are struggling in certain areas. Their defense is elite, and that's why they're going to keep winning games. If they don't solve the quarterback situation, they're going to have more issues. All right, but anyway, Cincinnati is actually favored over undefeated and underranked 14th team in the country, Iowa State. So I thought that that was interesting. You got anything real quick before we dive into this?
No, I mean, it is intriguing. And then, you know, I keep kind of looking at Texas Tech, you know, as at the top of the Big 12 along with Iowa State. If Cincinnati gets a win against Iowa State, then they are all of a sudden maybe one of the leaders to win the Big 12 altogether. So even your the 6 to 9 wins that you're projecting, if they get a win this week, there's going to be playoff talk around the Bearcats.
So I'm literally lining up the interview as we speak, but that's okay. Did we call them or they call us 2 weeks ago?
I believe they called us.
They called us. Okay. All right. There. That interview is now on its way. So you make a very good point. I don't want to spend too much time on Cincinnati, but I don't know, man. I want Nebraska to do well. I am the guy that's been the harshest on things in the past because I believe the only way to get better is to be for things to be held accountable, which hasn't always pleased certain folks, but that's okay. Because Matt Rhule said, it's not about your feelings. Nobody's coming here to save us. You got to go play better. That, isn't that what he said in the press conference yesterday that we discussed?
Yeah.
Sounds familiar. All right. I got more things to get into. Let's dive into what Dana had to say. Dana Holgorsen. I'm going to shock you with this first one, Jakey. You ready?
I'm ready.
They got to get better in the red zone. Did you see that coming?
I can agree.
Yeah. Dude, that's I'm blindsided. All right, need to do a better job of scheming up runs. He's calling himself out there because he's the guy who schemes up runs. You know what makes a scheme look really good? Blocking. I'm just saying. Now, Rhule said yesterday they have a good offensive line. I forget the exact words, so I'm going to paraphrase. Off day, bad day, whatever it was. Okay. Not a great day to have a bad day. Maybe the best D-line we'll face all year. Penn State's probably up there, too. Those are probably the two best. Iowa's always got a solid D-line. I don't know if their ceiling's as high as Michigan and Penn State. I just want to see it this weekend. Let's see. Everybody has bad days. It's okay. For an entire unit to have a bad day, it's a little harder to believe, but it happens. I just want to see it this weekend. What I'm getting at is you can zone up certain or scheme up certain runs. You can also block certain runs a little bit better, and then they look better. We certainly have size. We certainly have experience. We certainly have capability up front. That is undeniable. Let's see what happens this weekend. Says he needs to get creative. Oh, okay. So I know what I hear the instant he says that. What do you hear? Translate that for us. What does that mean to you, Jake?
To get creative. And is he talking about the red zone still?
He just says creative in general.
Yeah.
The notes I'm looking at, I don't know if it's specifically to the red zone. He went from the red zone to the run game. I think this is a general statement.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's, you know, trying to find different ways to. I still can't get my head out of the red zone because they've been moving the ball all right. But yeah, I mean, like he kind of says, I mean, that kind of goes back to the previous clip for me is, you know, it's kind of scheming something up.
What I hear, okay, again, when you speak for a living and you hear other people who are speaking publicly, I think things hit your ears a little bit differently. When I've sat in no less than 1 billion meetings with football coaches over the years, and then I hear them talking, things tend to hit my ears a little bit differently. It doesn't mean I'm right. I could certainly be wrong. It's happened at least once, maybe twice in my life. Would you say that's fair to say?
Yeah, I think so.
My wife would be like 1,000 or 2,000 times, which might be more accurate, but that's okay. What I hear is we aren't executing well enough. We've got to play better and execute better. And until we do, I've got to try to out-scheme people. That's what I heard. I could be wrong. That's my take. Is that crazy bonkerness to you, or does that seem somewhat of a fair interpretation via Adam Carriker there, Jake?
Yeah, I mean, I can see it. It's interesting though, because again, I would be interested in, and I wonder if it was asked, was just, you know, about being creative. Sometimes being creative is not being all that creative, right? It's just leaving a tight end to help with the blocking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so maybe at times you're trying to get too creative, trying to X and O's your way and find some different way when really, you know, you might need to do something a little more simple, which was been their calling card all along, was to simplify the playbook.
Is this like reverse psychology? Is that what he means by being creative, making things simpler? Because I actually don't. I mean, he likes a simple playbook, a small playbook. He likes reps, get really, really, really good. Know what you're doing. Play fast. You know, hit hard. Be better at what you do than anybody else is at what they do. And sometimes limiting the playbook can do that. So that's who he is to begin with. So maybe he is talking about the red zone. I can't exactly see exactly what that means in the notes. Let's see here. Michigan State looks like a Big Ten football team. In other words, they're big, they're physical. Don't overlook them. Don't underestimate them. I've said all offseason that they're improved. They're better. People have been overlooking them. They may be a year away from where I think they can. I just really like their head coach, Jonathan Smith. I think he's a really good football coach. I think they struck, I don't want to say struck gold. They struck gold by what they're hoping to get when they got him as a football coach. And I hope that makes sense when I say that. He did say tomorrow will be a big red zone practice. All right. Saturday's going to be a big test. They got to go into every game expecting a one-score game. They need to take advantage of every drive. I'll never forget when I first got the NFL, my D coordinator, Jim Hadley, just starts laughing at me. Just a random OTA practice, no pads, middle of June. My head's spinning because I don't know what the heck's going on. Moved to nose guard at 6'6", 292, because that makes sense. But it is what it is. And he just starts laughing at me. What are you laughing at, you weirdo? And that's how people talk to each other and, you know, in those type of scenarios. And he goes, you ain't playing Troy State this year, son. You ain't playing Arkansas State. It's the Steelers. It's the Niners. Like, he starts to like I wasn't aware of this. My point is, and his point was, he goes, every single game, like if we play 16 games, which is what you played when I was a rookie, he goes, 14, 13 at the least are going to come down to the last possession. College football is more, Big Ten and SEC especially, are more like the NFL than it's ever been. You're going to see more close games, more one-score games, and frankly, it's more entertaining. The parity in college football is as good as it's ever been. We have legit, like, 8 teams that can win a national title. Now, it's starting to get narrowed as the season unfolds, but not really, because you can finish 4th in your conference and lose 2 games and have really bad losses and go on to win a national title. But technically, we're starting to see who appears to be the legit contenders. And then you get to the second season and you see what happens. All right, John Butler. Any final thoughts on the offense? Basically, red zone, got to get better. Don't overlook or underestimate Michigan State. And he might change a few things up schematically. That's my big takeaway. You got anything different, Jake?
Well, no bigger takeaway than that. It's just kind of interesting that final one of every possession matters. You go back to the field goal choice, and are you going to – does every possession matters mean these one possession games got to capitalize and get touchdowns over field goals, or you need points every drive? Mm. Up for debate.
Should we go for it or kick it? Is that what you're kind of getting at?
Yeah, especially in the red zone. They talk about these red zone struggles. If they just kick field goals in the red zone, their numbers would be better. But obviously, they're being aggressive. And I don't, for the most part, have a problem with it. And I don't think it was a problem last week because they ultimately got the field goal attempt that, you know, from going for it. We've talked about it ad nauseum. But there's a big talk from the Husker fan base. And it's just interesting. It's just an interesting, you know, philosophy. I think everything depends on the game, depends on the situation, but they seem to be aggressive as far as going for it rather than kicking field goals more often than not.
You know, when you get questioned for going for it on fourth down, you know when that happens? Yeah. You know the answer. Go ahead and say it.
Yeah, when you don't.
When you don't make it. Yeah. You know, Dan Lanning was 7 for 7 in Happy Valley, and a lot of those were on midfield. 7 times he went for it on fourth down. If he doesn't make those, he's the stupidest coach in the world right now. He's thought of completely differently. So I have no problem going for it. At a certain point, if you're like 0 for 10, maybe stop. But like until you get to a certain point, like I love being aggressive. I wonder how differently that Michigan game goes. Because of course, the next time we had a chance to score, it's the only missed field goal attempt we've had all year. What are the odds of those? 1 in 7, because he's 6 out of 7. But you get my point. Like I think the crowd was ready to explode. It never got to a Colorado Fever pitch because they never, I don't want to say the wind was taken out of the sails, but you never got that pick six moment. You never got that initial point. We were down 10-0 instead of being up 6-0, 10-0. And it's hard to hit that same pitch versus another game where you had similar anticipation, but it was, you know, 28-0 at one point. All right, John Butler, big plays are only happening during the run. They still haven't given up a pass play of over 20 yards this year, by the way, the only team in the country. We are being blocked too much and not tackling very well. What did I say? Blocking, tackling, getting off blocks. I hope they did 1,000 reps of Husker drill, not Oklahoma drill, Husker drill during the bye week. Michigan State's quarterback is dynamic, a very good competitor. He will do whatever it takes to win. He gives props to Cincinnati's quarterback for his performance so far this year. Let's be honest, by doing so, he also gives props to his defense for game one, and I don't hate that. I think that's fair. They're working on tackling every practice. You know, when I chatted with Osborne last week, the first thing he mentioned in the interview was tackling, and then he went to the 7 sacks. Those are like the first 2 things that came up without me really even asking him about it, to be honest with you. So that's what stood out to the old ball coach there. I know that's supposed to be Steve Spurrier, but this is Nebraska. All right, need to get more guys to the ball. Gang tackling is huge. So a lot of times if it's one-on-one, the amount of tackles you miss will go up. Because guess what? Those guys are pretty good, and if they got a lot of space, it becomes really hard to win in a one-on-one situation. Gang tackling is huge. Rallying to the ball. Watching linemen run 15, 20, 25 yards downfield to help gang tackle, to get that fumble that pops out, and had they not hustled, they wouldn't be there to get it. The offense keeps the ball. Like, those things are, they add up to big. They're nothing, 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 bam, till all of a sudden a big play was possible. Then it's a huge deal. Running to the ball, rallying to the ball. Run defense is about an attitude. It's about hitting somebody in the mouth. It's about a level of toughness. It's about blue collar, in your face, smash mouth intensity. I'll say this. Somebody can knock things that I did as a player. You cannot knock me hitting somebody in the mouth. I was willing to hit somebody in the mouth, and I was willing to get hit in the mouth. There were times I got hit in the mouth, and I didn't win, but I was going to get up and hit you in the mouth again. And sometimes, one guy in particular, not a lot, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. There's one guy in particular, he was winning. He was winning, and he was winning in the league. And I just kept hitting him in the mouth, and I won in the fourth quarter. You want to know why, Jake? I'm convinced he just got tired of hitting me and winning. And it was like, this guy's still coming. I don't want to do this anymore. And then I started winning. So it's a mentality. It's a physicality. By the way, that did not happen a lot to where I lost for three straight quarters. It was one example one time, which is why I can remember it. But it's an attitude. It's a mentality. It's a physicality. All right. Gabe Moore is a guy he talks about. Can help stabilize our run defense. Just need to get him healthy. He's one of the bigger bodies we have. Young guy, freshman, transfer Mississippi State. But he's one of the bigger bodies we have, along with Keona Davis, a couple other guys. So, let's see. That's my big takeaway from the defense, from the offense. Basically, run defense. It's a physicality, it's a mentality, it's an attitude, and it's rallying to the football to gang tackle. It stands to reason. It stands to reason that if it's me versus a guy one-on-one in a tackling drill versus him and two of my buddies, we've got the advantage now all of a sudden if it's three of us trying to tackle him versus one of us. So that's a lot of it as well. Final thoughts before we head to break, Jake?
No, like you said, a lot of it is trying to break down all the X's and O's. A lot of times getting off tackles and getting off blocks and tackling can do wonders for your defense. We'll see. I'm kind of running down the Michigan State side of it too. As far as runs this year, we talk about not giving up 20-yard passes or, you know, kind of big plays there. Their longest run on the year is 28 yards. Well, they've had a few of them from Mekhi Frazier and Childs from the quarterback there. But I mean, if they can shore up that end of it, and certainly I think a lot of people think Nebraska's offense can score against their defense. The key is stopping Michigan State's offense. If they can limit the big play in the running game. Obviously, that would have changed the Michigan game. But certainly that's what they've been focusing on all week. Michigan State hasn't necessarily busted out too many big ones in the run.
Yeah, so when he said, Dana, that Michigan State looks like a Big Ten football team, they're big, they're fast, they're powerful, their pass defense is bad. I don't know how else to put it. It's bad. Like, I'm taking the over in this game. And that was before I knew what the over-under was. Now I know it's 53.5. I'm definitely taking the over. That's like a... What is that, like 23 to 21 or something? Oh, there's more points being scored than that. I'm taking the over. I felt like I had one more thing. I can't think of what it was. So it must be muy importante. Here's what we're going to do. All right. We are going to come back, and either we're going to do an interview with Rocco Spindler, all right, or we're going to chat a little bit more Nebraska football. I got some interesting volleyball stuff, too. All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.